Game on, hour number three. Glad you're with us. Coming up later, Trey Reed joins us. It's the Game of Fish Report. Also this hour, we've got what to bank on, what to watch. But right now, we're talking some Razorback football. Brett Bielema, Dan Enos, Paul Rhodes have already spoken with the media. Jimmy Carter from WholeHogSports.com was there. He joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Jimmy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I got to say, the biggest news to me, or the most surprising news maybe, was the 1A, 1B, 1C label of the running backs. I've been told that Chase Hayden was impressing them. He was getting more and more opportunities, that they really liked Chase Hayden, but I was never imagining that he was about to be named, as of right now, basically a co-starter.
Yeah, I mean, he's been that impressive so far in fall camp. I think this is like the second or third time in a row Bielema said he's the best one they have as far as making something out of nothing. He can turn a play that, you know, is blocked for about a yard into a six-yard gain, which anytime you've got someone like that, you know, obviously you want to find a way to get them carries. I think, you know, Devoa Whaley is still going to be the guy that gets the lion's share of the carries. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, more than doubles or comes close to doubling the combined carries that, that David Williams and Chase Hayden get. But I think the reason he's listing them or referring to them as 1A, 1B, 1C is they each have things that they do well. As far as David Williams, they like how physical he is. He's a bigger guy. I think kind of he's going to handle the Cody Walker sort of role where he can pass block. He can help in short yardage situations. He's actually caught the ball pretty well out of the backfield, the little bit that we've gotten to see from him. And, you know, Hayden looks like he's going to be somebody that, you know, basically forces them to get him the ball this year. He's someone who's demanding touches because he's just been electric whenever he has it. He can cut on a dime. He can make guys miss. The defensive players, you can tell they respect him. You hear them talking about how hard he is to tackle as we move through fall camp. They've really, you know, they haven't been around him long, but you can tell that he's got their respect. So I think they're all going to have a role. That's clear. I would still bank on Whaley being the clear-cut feature back. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt Chase Hayden has made them account for him and put him in the game plan. He's been probably the biggest pleasant surprise, or you know, maybe not to the coaching staff, but to the outside world. I still feel like he's been somebody that you thought you could maybe get something out of it coming into fall camp, and now he looks like a legit contributor and somebody who can make a difference.
Jimmy, you didn't take it them saying, or Coach Bielema was saying 1A, 1B, 1C into meaning that, you know, they were upset or disappointed in any way with Devoa?
No, I don't think that they are. I think that that is just them. They always tout their running back depth. A couple weeks ago, Brett mentioned that he thought if the season had gone, you know, if Raleigh had never gotten hurt, that Devoa would have surpassed Raleigh, which, you know, whether that happened or not or would have happened or not is, you know, up for debate. That's interesting. But I think that shows just how highly they hold Devoa, like how much respect they have for him and what they think of him as a player, because obviously Raleigh, somebody who led the SEC in rushing during the regular season, a great player and established back. So I don't think it was them being upset with him. I think it's just them doing what they typically do and acknowledging that they have running back depth, and I think that's kind of something that they've tried to build their program on over the years, and that's kind of where you see that come from.
Jimmy Carter's with us. He's on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Check him out, WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, I mean, looking at the tweets, I haven't listened to it yet, but it seemed all positive, really. I mean, he was happy with the tight ends. He even mentioned that they feel like there's six tight ends that can play. It sounds like the receivers are coming along. You're going to have Jared Cornelius rejoining those guys. Offensively, was it all pretty positive?
You know, they were mostly positive. I think the one thing that kind of stuck out to me, if you're looking for something that they want to continue to get better at, is Brian Wallace is somebody that I believe is Danny Enos called out and said he needed to be more consistent, and they need to see a little bit better, you know, just a little bit better blocking from him on a more consistent basis. He's been a little up and down, and he mentioned a few guys that might have a chance to play a little bit at tackle, because I think that they feel like they can get better performance from him. He's somebody that obviously he came on last year and won the starting job and held it, and I don't think that, I mean, if you had to ask me to bet now, I imagine he will start at right tackle in the opener, and there's a good chance he starts all year. But I think that was interesting that they're probably not happy with him. In the next sentence, he mentioned that he had really been impressed with Colton Jackson's fall camp. So I think that they're still trying to work out some kinks on the offensive line, but they feel like they're a lot better than they have been. And then, you know, they got to figure out who the backup quarterback's going to be. Enos has said several times that he's impressed with how they've both competed, and that he thinks that they would do well with, with either of them there. But one of them has to separate themselves in the next couple of days, because you're getting 2 weeks out. Whoever's going to be the backup needs to start getting all those second team reps behind Austin Allen. And in fact, they're going to go ahead and start giving, I think, you know, a bulk of the reps to those two guys, Ty Story and Cole Kelly, over the next couple of days of practice, just to try and let them separate themselves. We can work with the first team offense, work against the first team defense, to put them in positions where they have a little bit of pressure. They have more reps, and one of those guys needs to sort of take the job and win it, because they've been pretty much deadlocked all fall camp, and that's somebody that's, you know, one play away. You got to have a backup quarterback, and they need to identify that, I think.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter from WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, let me ask you the Culligan water question of the day. I think most people feel like that your leading receiver will be Jared Cornelius. When it's all said and done, mm-hmm. who's going to be number two on this team in catches, yards? Who's going to be that number two receiver?
Man, that's a great question. If you had to ask me now, I feel like Deion Stewart is the safest bet.
Yeah.
He's somebody that has been a clear-cut lock to be a starter, to get major reps. They trust him. He knows all the positions. He can line up anywhere. And so that basically ensures that he's going to be on the field. He's not limited to a certain couple packages or a certain thing. He knows the entire playbook. He can line up. So I think just by virtue of being someone who's going to be on the field a lot, he's got to be up there. They've got so many options. Like, Brandon Martin may not even make the travel roster at this point, which I don't think anyone would have predicted coming into fall camp, but he's been nicked up, and other guys have really performed well. I think, you know, Michael Petway has done some things. If he can stay out of the doghouse and consistently be locked in and focused, he might be more talented than anyone else. And everybody won't stop talking about how good Quaylen Jackson is. So I think that there's a chance that you could see, and I didn't even mention T.J. Hammonds, who, whenever he gets back, is going to be one of those top four receivers for them probably. So someone like a Hammonds, if he doesn't miss a bunch of time, or maybe LaMichael Petway, Jordan Jones, if he can become more consistent. But I think, honestly, Deion Stewart is probably the odds-on guy to be after Cornelius.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the defense. How is we got to hear from Paul Rhodes today? How is the defense? Is the 3-4? Is it on schedule? Are they behind, ahead? How is the moving to the 3-4 going?
Yeah, he talked a lot about that, and he feels like installation wise, they're on schedule. They haven't installed everything that they want to, but for the most part, they've gotten in what they wanted to get in, and they feel like they're in a good spot with a few weeks to go before the opener. It's going to be a process. It's something he talked in depth about today, because, you know, this is year one, so you're still in that sort of transition period. Something that they haven't had to do, you don't really, I guess, think about it, but something they haven't had to do yet is go against an opponent that's game planning for them, specifically how to attack them in the 3-4 and what they do. Because obviously they're practicing against the offense right now, and offense just running its regular offense, not game planning to take advantage of certain guys or angles or what have you. So they'll have to go through that, obviously, and that'll be a new thing, because they haven't had to do that in the 3-4 at Arkansas, at least. And it's going to be a process. I think the fact that it is year one means that they don't have the kind of personnel that they want to have, you know, long term. He mentioned getting length at defensive end, getting a better combination or difference in guys that play the Hawk outside linebacker spot and the Razor outside linebacker spot, because in a perfect world, you have two different kinds of guys at those two positions, and they don't really have that right now because, again, they're still in the infancy stages of this defense. And so I think he likes where they're at as far as, you know, where they started in the spring and then winter and offseason putting it in. But to assume that it's a finished product, both from a personnel standpoint and just from a schematic standpoint, there's no way it could be at this point. So there's going to be some growing pains probably, and there's going to be a transition. But I think the most important thing when you look at it this year is that he and pretty much all the defensive players you talked to said they feel like it allows them to play faster, and it's going to make them it's going to allow them to put guys in better positions maybe to make plays and to get more speed on the field, and that's something that obviously they were lacking last year. So I think they're optimistic, but I think they're realistic in a sense that they know that there's going to be a transition and maybe some growing pains that go along with that.
Jimmy, in the last year or so, I've spoken with some former players that play defense for Arkansas, and they were excited about the move to 3-4. They thought the old 4-3, it was boring. It wasn't a lot of fun to play in. They felt like the 3-4 is going to create excitement, and players will want to play in the 3-4, that it would be easier to recruit to a 3-4. It's an aggressive-type defense. It sounds right. Like Coach Rowe, that's already happening, that the players are excited about this defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just look at the different options that it gives you. I mean, you can line up in so many different ways, different personnel groups. You can bring pressure from different spots. It's not as predictable. And as far as recruiting, yeah, I mean, look, defensive line is maybe the hardest position to recruit in the SEC. It's the deepest position. You've got all these freak athletes that are 6'3", 300. But, you know, those guys are difficult to sign the kind of talent that you like and Alabama has. There's not a ton of Alabama defensive tackles growing on trees, and so I think they feel like the fact that they don't have to recruit as many defensive linemen, they can get these kind of if underdeveloped is the right word, but these rangy guys who are athletes in high school and they can put 15, 20 pounds on them and make them an outside linebacker type, somebody that can cover, can rush a little bit. I think it just gives them a bigger base that they can recruit to, more options basically. And whenever you're a program like Arkansas that primarily has to do out of state, I think that helps them. And so I think, you know, for now, for the players that are on campus, yeah, it allows them to do a lot more. I think it caters to guys' strengths maybe more. They can be more. I think they feel like they can be more aggressive. And versatile, and maybe allow them to get more guys on the field in sort of niche roles. And then recruiting-wise, I think it opens them up to being able to take advantage of athletes that they are maybe more able to sign and recruit than they had been in the past whenever they're in a 4-3.
I thought it was interesting that he was talking about a couple of freshman cornerbacks, Curl and Chevin Callaway. It seems right. Like they're high on these two guys, that they may be playing this year.
Yeah, and I think they both will. I've really been, I mean, honestly, like, you look back and signing day rolls around and Chevin Callaway picks Arkansas, on signing day, puts on the Razorback hat. That was huge. He's one of the biggest gets of the class, and I think he's, you know, if he's in a position to play at a position where they've got good depth and experience, I think that says all you need to know about him. He's been as good as advertised, but really Cameron Curl has been, if not as impressive, maybe more than Chevin even, because he's big, man. He's a physical corner. He can probably play safety. He's a really sure tackler, and he's made plays in fall camp. I think, you know, there have been times where you've seen him get beat. He's going through his first fall camp. He's just got on campus, and so he's had some growing pains, but he's come back really quickly and shown the ability to kind of get over the last play and you know, come back and make a big one. His interception Saturday, probably the defensive highlight of what we got to see in the scrimmage, was two plays after he got called for pass interference on maybe an iffy call, and he comes back and makes a huge diving catch. So I think that mental ability to go ahead and put something negative behind you and still find a way to make an impact is something that they've really been impressed with. And physically, he's been, you know, he doesn't look like a freshman. He's a big dude. He's like 6'2", 195 pounds, and he looks like he's been through an off season in a weight program before. So I've really, really been impressed with Cameron Curl. I think that he's been that second guy behind Ryan Pooley, and Chevin has been there a little bit too, but I think that there's definitely an opportunity for him to play. You know, it might be a lot on special teams this year, but he's going to get some snaps, and I think that they feel like working him and Callaway in early in the season against Florida A&M or in other non-conference games is important, because I think they feel like they can get help from those guys as the season moves along. And I don't know that they anticipated getting multiple freshman corners in a position to play and contribute this year, especially with how old they are, like all the experience they have at the position. So I think that they're pretty pleasantly surprised and feel pretty good about what they've gotten out of those two specifically in fall camp.
Outstanding stuff, Jimmy. I enjoyed your tweets and enjoyed the story on WholeHogSports.com. Thank you for your time, man. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Jimmy Carter, yep, and you can read more about his notes from the press conference, WholeHogSports.com.